Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi Meseches Krisis Daf Ches. We begin at the Mishnah on Zion and Beis, around 8 lines from the bottom. Says the Hilge Mishnah, Pelas, a woman who miscarries, Lo Oir Shmoinim Ve'echad. It's the night prior to the 81st day from her previous birth. So, suppose she gave birth to an akeva, in which case, she proceeds with the following system. The first 2 weeks, she's tummy. Any dam that she sees automatically is tummy. And even without dam, she's tummy on account of that birth for 2 weeks. Any dam that she'll see past that point for the next 66 days, until day 80 including, is considered dam toihar. So it has no tuma status. And at the end of this 80-day process, on day 81 she brings karbanos. As we discussed yesterday, karban leida, and oila, and chatos. Now, the halacha is that if she had any additional births or miscarriages within this 80-day period, it is covered under that same single karban obligation. Because it's not considered an independent experience. It's still sort of linked to that first birth, way back, 80 days ago. But if she has another birth, another miscarriage, on day 81, and that's the day that she's already chayav to bring a carbon for that first original birth, so this new experience cannot be covered any longer under that same carbon obligation. Rather, it triggers its own obligation, a new chayav to bring a carbon. So again, if this leida, this hapala, this miscarriage occurs within the 80 days of that original birth, it's covered under the same carbon. So basically, when she's done everything, one carbon for everything. It's all part of the same experience. If it took place on day 81 and onward, after which the carbon obligation for that first birth had already been activated, it can no longer cover additional experiences. They're considered separate, independent, and trigger their own carbon obligation. Now comes an interesting question. What about in the twilight zone, in between? On the night, between 80 and 81. So technically, you're out of the woods, you're out of 80 already. You're disconnected from that original experience, but halachically, since you can't bring a carbon at night, to wait until next morning, so that carbon obligation was not yet activated, was not yet really triggered, so perhaps you could cover this new birth, this new miscarriage tonight, still have it covered under that same carbon obligation. So this is subject to dispute between Beis Shammai, who say covered, and Beis Hillel say no, it triggers its own obligation. Hamapelas la'or shmoneh ve'echad, she gives birth at night, the night prior to day 81. So it's beyond the 80, but it's not yet 81. Beishami poitrim in a carbon. Beishami say you're exempt from a new carbon. It can still be covered under that single carbon obligation. Beisil mechayvin. According to Beisil, she has to bring a carbon for the first birth, a new carbon for tonight's birth. Amru Beisil, the eternal Beishami. Why? Maishna. Or shmonim ve'echad, miyem shmonim ve'echad. How would you differentiate between tonight and tomorrow? Look, in Shivaloi Latuma, we find that tonight is equated with tomorrow regarding Tuma. Suppose she sees blood tonight. Since she's out of the 80, it starts a new slate, a new record. And the Dam is Tummy, just like if she would see Dam tomorrow, it would be Tummy. Apparently, it's a new record. Lo yishvilei the carbon, why wouldn't it be similar to tomorrow regarding carbon as well? And just like a leida tomorrow on 81, all agree would trigger a new obligation, likewise tonight. Amru lahem beisham, they turned to Beisil and they said, Loi, you can't compare tonight to tomorrow. Yim amartim b'mapilas yom shmoneh ve'echad. Sure. if it occurs tomorrow, it triggers a new obligation. Shekin yatzal l'shah shiru'uy l'aviv ha'karim, because tomorrow is a time that you can bring a karim. She's already emerged from the first experience onto a new record. It's a time that you can bring a new karim. So a time that you can bring a karim, so that karim from the first experience had already been activated, been triggered, and can no longer be used to cover more experiences. As opposed to, if it occurs the night prior to 81, which is still premature, she hasn't yet emerged to a moment which is suitable for karma, meaning the original karma had not yet been activated. So it hasn't yet been activated. So why not push in some more and have it covered by that same card? It's not yet considered a brand new experience. It's still covered under the old experience. Amr lahan Beis Hillel. Okay, so Beis Hillel respond. What about if it happened on Shabbos? You can't bring a card on Shabbos. Let's say it's day 81, but it's Shabbos. Are you going to also insist that it's covered under the same carbon? Because technically she can't bring up carbon today, so it hasn't yet been activated. Suppose this hapala took place on day 81. Shechal yis b'Shabbos, which turns out on Shabbos. Techech, that will disprove your argument. Shlo yatsa l'shah sheyiru yilav b'carbon, because it's not yet a time for carbon. Chayev is carbon. And all agree that she's chayev a new carbon for today's experience. Amalim b'Shamer respond, no, you can't ask from Shabbos. Even if you say that, yes, you're right, day 81 on Shabbos is a brand new experience. You know why? Because although you can't bring private karbanis, but it's a time for karbanis in general, for public karbanis, so it is karban enabled, and technically does already trigger her first carbon obligation, and no longer allows for coverage of more experiences under that carbon. Sha'af al bishayin roy shein roy lo carbon yachid, though it's not fit for a private carbon, roy lo carbon tzibur. So all agree, it's a brand new slate. Tell me my pillas le shemayin ve'echad, as opposed to this woman who miscarried on the night prior to 81. Night time is not suitable for carbon at all. So it's still linked to the previous experience, still linked to the previous days. She hasn't yet emerged onto a new track. She ain't like the royal carbon, nighttime is not fit for any carbon, private or public. That's why we insist that it's still linked to the previous experience. And that first carbon could serve as an umbrella carbon for all these experiences, including tonight. Now, regarding your question of the blood, because you sought to prove that tonight is a brand new track, proving it from the fact that if she sees Dom tonight, she's Tommy, evidently. She left. She disconnected from that first birth experience. Because otherwise, her Dom would be Tahar. Which is the case until day 80, right? You can't prove from the blood. I'll give you another example. Let's say she's Mapel within the Malois, within the 80-day count. It's called the Yimei Malois, right? So if she sees plain blood, it's tar, but if she miscarries, Domei HaTmeim, all agree the blood is Tamei. It's a known halacha. So what do we see from there? That you can have Dom, which is Tamei, and still it doesn't mean that it will obligate her a new carbon for this new miscarriage. Of course she's exempt from carbon because it's within 80 days. All agree. We learn from a pasuk later. All agree. Any additional birthing experiences are covered under the same carbon if in fact they're linked to the original experience, to the original birth. So within 80 days, I was just talking about the night of the 81st, but within 80, day 60, let's say, all agree it's covered. Despite the fact that her blood is tummy. So you see that Dam and carbon aren't really linked to each other. Okay, so again, Anisha gave birth. Once her 80 days are up for the Nekeva, the Chiv carbon is activated, which she brings into 81. And regarding additional birthing experiences, are they covered under the same carbon? If it's within 80 days, of course. If it's on the 81, of course not. What about the night of the 81st? Bisham may say covered. Bisil say not covered. Return to the next topic. Tanya, we have a brisa. What is Basil's reason for obligating a new carbon on the experience that occurs on the night of the 81st? Amrulan Basil Basham. We have a pasuk. Harry Oimer. It says Oy Lavas, and some learn the extra Oy that we're focusing on. That's coming to cover this case. L'rabo is Oy Shmoneh Ve'echad, to tell you that this experience of the night prior to 81 garners its own carbon. So according to this brisa, it's based on a pasuk. Now, really, you can consider two options in terms of the reasoning for Beis Hillel obligating a new carbon. On the one hand, you can say night and day are synonymous. Is a term for the Gemara Laila, Ein Mechus Hazman. It's not lacking in time. It's not premature. Although technically you can't bring a carbon at night, but it's, you know, the night leads into the day, Vayere, Vayevoke, Yemecha, throughout, you know, the Torah, we consider the night leading into the next day. So it's close enough. It's already, you've already started to experience the next day, even though technically you can't bring a carbon if you wait until daybreak. Laila is already considered like tomorrow. That's one way to look at Beis Hillel. And that's why you don't differentiate between the night of the 81st and the 81st by day. It's all one and the same thing. It is considered as though the Zman of the original carbon has already arrived, been activated, been triggered, and any additional experiences generate their own new obligation. Now, this would apply to our case of an Isha giving birth. It can apply to other cases as well, where we have similar situations. We have a day count, and then the next day bring a carbon. What happens in between? Is it still linked to the previous days, or is it a new experience? We have Azav. Halacha is that if a man sees an emission, triple emission, three times, he has to count 7 clean days, after which he brings a carbon on the next day, on the 8th day. What happens if he has another experience in between? So if he has it within the 7 days, all agree it's linked to the previous experience, doesn't trigger a new carbon. If he has it on day 8, too late. Brand new experience, brand new carbon. What happened the night in between? Between 7 and 8. So you add a 7, but you haven't yet arrived at day 8, which is this amount of karma. It's a very similar type of equation to our Mishnah. So if you work with the concept that Lilo and the following day are one and the same, so it's too late. You're already out of your initial experience. You've already activated your karma for that. You have to bring a new karma for the new experience. Lilo in Mechuzazman. On the other hand, you can say, no. The basis for Beis Hillel is not this Svara of Laila Ein Mechus Hazman, which can be applied to a Leida, to a Ziva, to a Nazir, we'll see later. Rather, no, nighttime is Mechus Hazman. It's lacking in time. It's premature. It's early. It doesn't relate to tomorrow because it's not yet the time for the carbon. So when it comes to a Zav, the experience that he had the night between 7 and 8 can still be linked with the previous experience, and there's no new obligation. It's just that by the woman giving birth, we have an extra pasuk. Oy lavas, l'rabbis, or shmoneh ve'echad. This is an exception to the rule, and here there's a new car. So the two ways to look at it, we'll see how the Gemara will approach it. So far we have the brisa, but it's a new halacha, an exception for later. But it wouldn't apply equally to azav. Now what happened? Rabbi Yoshia was a regular Talmud by Bar Kappara. Rabbi Yoshia have a shchiach kemed Bar Kappara. Shavke, one day they decided to switch yeshivas and to go to Rabbi Chia. So he left Bar Kappara, v'asal kemed Rabbi Chia, came to Rabbi Chia. Yom echad, pogabei, one day, Rabbi Yoshia meets up with Bar Kappara, his former Rabbi. Figured, okay, let me ask him a shayla. Let me take the opportunity. What happens to a Zav? Zav, Shara, Gimurias. He had a triple emission. Bilel Ches, the night prior to day 8. Ma Beis Hillel, how would Beis Hillel treat the situation? What are the factors? As we explained, Tamai de Beis Hillel Mapelas Balayla. The reason why Beis Hillel obligate the woman a new karma if she miscarries the night prior to day 81 is because of a special pasuk, but typically you would not obligate a new carbon. But a zav in a similar situation had this new experience the night of the 8th would be exempt. We don't have extra psukim for that. And nighttime, which is not a zman of carbon, is still connected, still linked, still identifies with the previous 7 days. So it's all covered under the same carbon. Or perhaps no difference. Because the basis for Beis Hillel is the concept of Laila Ein Mechus Hazman. Nighttime, leading into the day of Karban, is not considered premature. It's not early enough. It's already connected to the next day, in which case, the Chi of Karban is already triggered, and whatever happens now, going forward, earns its own Chi of Karban, whether it's the Isha by the Leda, whether it's the man by the Ziva. Amar Lei Bar Kapara, so Bar Kapara responded. He says, I know you moved on to bigger and better things, to Rabbi Chiya. What is the Bavli? They call him the Bavli because he ascended from Babel to Yisrael. So you refer to him like that. He said, what does the Bavli say? What does your Rebbe say about this? Ishtik, Rabbi Yehoshua, Lemar Klum, Rabbi Yehoshua did not respond. Amalei Bakapara. Amalei, so in fact, Rabbi Yehoshua responds, Bakapara, called his Rebbe, Bakapara. He says, you should know, don't negate Rabbi Chiya. He's a big expert on Brises and Srichen. Anu Ladivrei Aya. They used to call him Aya instead of Chia. Some couldn't express the Ches, they call it Aya. So in any case, we need him. And he was referring to the Brisa we had on the beginning of the Amud, which was disseminated by Rav Chia, Rav Aishia, right? It was they are the ones who. So we need his Brises. Rav Chia has what to teach us, meaning from that Brisa, we will have indication that in fact it's based on the pasuk. So in general, nighttime is too early. Laila is mechus hazman. In which case, by the zav, the triple experience at night is still linked to the previous days. It does not deserve its own carbon. It's just by the lady we have the pasuk, the exception. Fine. Continues the Gemara. Nachshol Rishen. Let's go back and review the earlier discussion, meaning let's go back to that brisa, which gives us a pasuk, Hariyu Oimer Lavas, Oy Lavas, the rabbi said, Rishman and Be'echa, to tell you that the woman is chayv a new karm for what happened the night of. Name a katanai, perhaps, it's subject to machlekes tanaim. In terms of what, in fact, is the basis for Beis Hillel obligating new karm? As we explained, there are two ways to look at it. Is it because nighttime is mechusar zman, it's still too early in the game, and it's still linked to the previous experience, in which case by the zav it can be covered, except by the woman we have a special apostle to obligate. On the other hand, we can say, no, Laila ein mechusar zman. Nighttime is not premature, it's already considered having entered the next day. And it's a new experience, a new carbon, whether it's by the Leda or by the Zav. Ketanai Zav Sharoa Gimoriyas. Bilel Ches. Okay, so we have our Zav. We experience three emissions. The night of the 8th. So let's picture it. He had three emissions. He had to count 7 days. 7 clean days. After which he would bring a carbon on the next day. The night of the 8th, he saw another three. Can it be covered under the same carbon or not? Tani chada, maybe. One brisa says, new carbon. New experience. Tani idach eni, maybe. Another brisa says, no, need not bring a new carbon. It's covered. My love tanoi, perhaps this is the machalikas tanoi. The other tani, maybe, the first brisa which says bring, kasavar laila eni mechus hazman. Night and the next day, one and the same thing. So he's added the first experience. It's a brand new carbon. Well, the tani eni, maybe. The second brisa which says, don't bring a new carbon, kasav laila mechus hazman. Laila's too early, it's premature. You haven't yet activated your chiyuv carbon on the first experience, so he's still linked to it and covered by it. Amar Rav Huna bar Acham Rav Lazar. No, you don't have to say that. Hani Tanai, perhaps both opinions. Savri, they hold laila mechus hazman. the night of the 8th is still too early. It's still linked to the previous experience, the previous days. Well, this honey maybe, so how do you explain the first price, that he has to bring a new carbon? Why isn't it covered under the first carbon? The answer is there was never a carbon to begin with. What happened was, we thought that he had three riyos, which triggers a carbon. No. The rice is talking. He only saw an emission twice. The law goes like this. If a fellow has one emission, it's only one day tumah until tonight. He's tovel, waits for sunset, and he's done and over with. If he has a double emission, his halacha has to wait 7 clean days, after which there's no carbon needed. If he has 3 emissions, then he needs to wait 7 clean days plus a carbon the next day. We're talking about a fellow who only saw 2. There was no carbon to begin with. Of course, if he has a triple riyah now, of course he has to bring a carbon. There's nothing to cover it. It's by the sani, and maybe the other writer which says it's all covered under the same carbon. It's talking about there was a carbon. He had a triple riyah to begin with, and of course, since he has a chiv carbon for that, it covers everything that happens until the 8th. So that was the Gemara Zav Balbeis Riyos, Maila Memra. So according to you, the first price is talking that he only had a double emission. And of course, obviously, then why even discuss it? There's no carbon to cover the new experience. How come Ashman, the point of the price is to highlight the timing aspect? You should know. The only reason why he's chayven a carbon for the triple experience tonight, the night prior to 8, is because he has already completed the 7 clean days. So in fact, it's a brand new experience. He's chayven a carbon. But let's say he would have had this triple experience throughout the 7 clean days, which he's observing on account of the double re'iyah, the original one. Guess what? He'd be putter from carbon. Because it's embedded in that first experience. Dafka rob lilches, only because he had this triple experience on the night of the 8th. Avul b'mama design, but suppose he had it backtrack a couple of hours ago, on day 7. That certainly identifies with that initial double emission. Lloyd, there's no new carbon. So although there's no carbon at all, you're right. Because he holds, kol re'iyosh yisiseris, enim avil day's carbon. Any experience which nullifies a count. Halacha is that he has to observe 7 clean days. If there's anything going on there, it just nullifies it. It cancels it. So anything that happened during that 7 days, during those 7 days, is certainly connected to that initial experience. And there's no new count. There's no new... even if it's a triple riyah, and it's the first time you had a triple riyah, there's no karma. The question only begins if you're done with your 7 days. And it's the night of the 8th. And now he has a triple experience. So of course he's chayav a carbon, because again we're talking that he never had a carbon to begin with. Amar Rav, Mayu came to La Dasanya, ain't maybe, b'zav al gimriyus. So according to what you're explaining, second brayso, there's no new carbon for that triple night of the 8th experience is because it's covered under the same original chayav carbon, because he had a triple riyah way back a week ago. The night of the 8th is still linked to the previous experience. So I have a question. You know, coming up on Amud Beis, on the Daf Tes, we have a Mishnah. And this example should have been stated there as well. This night it should have been listed, Gabe, amongst the cases of Chamisha, 5 individuals, Mivin Karban Echad Alaveres Harbe. You can actually bring one carbon to cover many issues. Here's another example. One carbon for multiple experiences, Leipzigalei, because it wasn't clear cut. Because it's not gonna hold true in every situation. When doesn't it hold true? So we spoke about a fellow who had a triple experience. Waited his week, it's the night of the 8th. He has another triple experience. It's covered under the same carbon. Fine. Now let's say he did not have all three experiences, all three emissions tonight. Only one tonight and two tomorrow. So again, if he has all three tomorrow, of course, it's a new chiv carbon. What if it's one tonight, and that single experience should be covered by the previous, you know, experience, right? Still the night of. One tonight and two tomorrow. The halacha is, since the majority of the three are tomorrow, which is a time of chiyuv, which is a new record, it corrals that first experience of the previous night and gets a total of 3, and you chayv a new karma. Versus if you had twice tonight and one tomorrow, since the majority of the 3 is tonight, you're potter. So it goes based on roiv. Suppose he had 1 emission tonight, the night of the 8th, who pays behavior and the following 2 tomorrow for a total of 3, maybe he will bring a carbon. It's as though he had the full experiences, you know, tomorrow on the 8th. Because most, 2 out of 3 were tomorrow. I mean, maybe if 2 were tonight and 1 tomorrow, since the majority were tonight, he's potter. Interesting chiddush. So again, despite the fact that the first experience is sort of covered, because it happened that night, but since 2 out of 3 happened tomorrow, the 2 can sort of invite that first one over, include it in their count, and I guess 3 outstanding on day 8, new carbon. I'm going to Yosef take that. Says Yosef, right on. I'll even back that up with a proof of my own. The achas belayla, maybe that if it's 1 at night and 2 the next day, he has to bring a new carbon. Look at a regular standard zav experience. 1 emission, another one, another one. It's considered a triple emission. 7 days, a carbon. Why? Suppose a person only has 1 single emission. It's called shechazer ba'alma. It's like zera. It doesn't have the status of ziva. It's not metamehim in a grand way. Like we said, 1 ri'ah, even of ziva material, is only a 1-day tumah until tonight. So, despite the fact that it's not really a qualifying ziva experience, but suppose it's followed by 2 and 3, it sort of reawakens and relabels that first emission and turns into the first of 3 ziva experiences. So we see that sometimes the first experience, the first emission, is sort of considered like a pending experience. For time being, it's sort of dormant, and then it can be relabeled and upgraded and connected to the number 2 and 3 and give a new status. Likewise over here, the first emission, which happened during nighttime, even though it on its own is exempt, it's covered under the previous carbon obligation, but from the following day, yes, it's followed by 2 more experiences, they invite him over. And now he's upgraded and relabeled as number 1 of the 3 ziva experiences, which trigger a new carbon. Very interesting correlation. He says in general, if a person has 1 riyah, a regular person, consider shechva zera, but then when he adds 2 more experiences, they all connect. And now he has a total of 3. Likewise over here. Amar of Sheshe Bid Ravidi, not so simple. You're comparing 2 cases, well, you can really wedge them. You can separate them. Midiyari, how can you compare 1 case to the other? Riyah Rishen Shal Zav, in your standard first emission of a Zav. You're right, although technically it's not yet ziva, but the circumstances, the context would allow for a ziva. It's a regular day, it can turn into a ziva. Chazi b'zman chiyuva, it's a time of chiyuv. There's nothing inherently wrong with number 1 except for the fact that it's only 1. So yeah, it can then be relabeled and reclassified as the first of 3 zivas. But achas b'layla, in our case where the first one was at night, which is inherently a disqualifying time. Kiva the love is not chiyuv chazi. He saw it in a time which is not chiyuv, meaning it's still sort of covered under the old umbrella. We love that Shmini Rabbi Yechon started. If not for Rabbi Yechon teaching us that, yes, it can actually connect to tomorrow's experiences and trigger a chiyuv, I wouldn't figure it on my own. I would think like this stuff. You can't combine it. So you need Rabbi Yechon to teach us that. It's not so simple. Okay, so what did Rabbi Yechon teach us? He seemed to hold that Laila is Mechus HaZman, which means to say the night prior to 8 is considered premature, and tonight's experience doesn't have its own independent record. It's still covered under the previous experience, except when it's only 1 tonight and the majority tomorrow, then yes. Umiyor Rabbi Yechon Laila Mechus HaZman, is it true that Rabbi Yechon himself is of the opinion that Laila is Mechus HaZman? You haven't yet arrived into tomorrow's era. We find that Rabbi Yechon himself seems to say otherwise. The night prior to 8 is considered like you've entered the 8th day territory. V'amar Chizkiyah teaches us, now we shift to a totally new case of a Nazir. A Nazir He was meant to keep away from Tumah. He became Tumah. He has a similar situation. He has to count the 7 days. The following day he brings a carbon. Now, if he became Tumah within the seven, touched more Tumah, of course it's covered under the same. But let's say it's already day eight. It's a new Chiv carbon. It's a new Nazir. It's a new count. What if it's the night prior to eight? The same kind of situation. As the Isha, as the Zav. Vamar Chizkia, Nitmum B'yayim. Maybe. If you got Tumah on day eight, it triggers a new carbon. It's a new Nazirus experience, a new carbon. But Lailayna, maybe, but the night of the eighth, it's still covered under the previous carbon. Rabbi Yechon Amar, no, Afilu B'Lailayna, maybe, even happened at night. It's a night leading into the day of carbon, brand new experience. And that contradicts Rabbi Yechon Bayas, who says the nighttime is still linked to the previous days. Well, says the Gemara, his own personal opinion is that the night leading into the next day is already considered part of the next day. Rabbi Yechon, however, in our discussion, is simply relating to the opposing opinion, which he himself doesn't hold of. Kikam Rabbi Yechon. True, when Rabbi Yechon presented that Beis B'Laila V'Achas B'Yamina, maybe if two emissions of the Zav happened at night and the third by day, and maybe he doesn't have to bring a new karma because it's still connected to previous days, he was related to those who say that nighttime is still early, it's still premature, it's still connected to previous days. Although I myself, Rabbi Yechon myself, I hold differently. He says the Maldiver, I'm a Pshita. Well, if he's related to their opinion, obviously, why does he have to even state it as a halach? I mean, he's just reiterating a Shita that we all know. Well, it's not so simple. He was trying to highlight these cases of the one and the two, and the two and the one. Ro achas b'layla beiz b'mitzrichalei. He was trying to highlight that point that when it was only one emission tonight and two tomorrow, even though the first one, according to my opponent, is exempt, it can still be corralled and combined with tomorrow's experiences and trigger a new chiyuv. On the table, perhaps there's room to think otherwise. Given the love is man chayuva kachazli, since he saw the first emission in an exempt time, loy tesar, he cannot use it and combine it to the next two of tomorrow. Kamash on the point as he could, as we explained. So, conclusion: we have three similar type of discussions, sort of twilight experiences. We have the Isha, who gave birth to an akeva. Once her 80 days are up, on day 81 there's a carbon. Anything that happened within the 80s are covered on the first experience. Anything that happens on day 81 is not covered. What happened on the night of the 81st? Beis Shammai covers, Beis Hillel does not cover. Now there's two ways to learn Beis Hillel. Is it because Lila is not Mechusazman, which means to say it's as though we've already entered into the next era, to the next experience, to the next time zone, in which case you have a new carbon. And this would apply equally to the Isha with the Leda, to the Zav of the Gemuriyos, to the Nazir as well. Or do we say Laila is really Mechusazman? You haven't yet entered the next time zone. It's just that by Leda we have a special puzzle to obligate you. Okay, so that was our discussion. We had Machlaikis and we had the students of opinion. We had a Chiddush Rabbi Yechon with the one and the two and the two and the one. Okay, says the next Mishnah. Ha'isha sheishila safek heilede. So an Isha who has an uncertainty. We discussed this yesterday. Whether what she miscarried was a qualifying fetus, which is considered halakhically like a birth or not, we're not sure. What happens? She brings it's a special system for a safek. She'll bring an oila, which is not an issue, because even if you're not chayv, an oila can bring as a donation. But the chatas is problematic, because typically a chatas is only brought when you chayv a chatas, and the kayanim eat it. Even if it's a bird, they eat it. But when it's a safek, there's a special dispensation. She can bring it on account of safek, and you offer it on the mizbeach, but the meat you burn, or you, well, we discussed in the end of Masechas Tumah. What if she has multiple issues, multiple uncertainties? Ha'isha she'esh ela safek heledos. She has five uncertain births. She has five possible Zava experiences. She lost count of her days. She's not sure what she's a Zava, what she had, triple experiences, Dam, and which would trigger a card. What does she do? The answer is, if it's a Safik, one covers it all. It's like, a person's tummy. Even if he touched many times, he goes to the mikveh once, he's done. Same thing over here. Because the whole thing is really a very challenging situation to bring a carbon when you're a suffix. So we say, look, get away with one, and you covered it all. Maybe a carbon echad. She brings just one pair of birds, one carbon. She has access to carbonis now. She can eat. She's done. Vein hashar lechayva, and she doesn't bring the rest. What about heziv's vadois? She was certainly a zava five times over. Vehez ladies vadois and gave birth five times over. In this case, she has to bring five. Via carbon echad v'chalas b'zvachim. So she brings one to give her access to carbonis, but she has an account. She's outstanding balance. Vashal lechayva. She has to bring the rest. Now, turns out, because there was such high demand for birds to cover all these experiences, the price was jacked up to an unreasonable level. Turns out that once the birds in Yerushalayim were so high priced, v'din zav. So a khan has a pair of birds, and it was going for a dinar zav. A gold dinar, very expensive. And that would make it very difficult for people to afford, and perhaps they would disregard the achiv of carbon because of the high prices. Omar Rabban Shimon Gamliel, so as a caring community leader, he says, look, I'm not going to rest until the price drops drastically. Hamoin Azeh, he made an oath. The name of the Hashem, the Shekhinah that rests in this dwelling, the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not going to sleep tonight. And Shiyah B'dinar, until it drops to Dinarin, the silver coins. Silver coin is worth a 25 silver coins and one gold coin. I'm not going to sleep until there's a drastic price drop on this. So what do you do? Nichnas lebezn v'limid. He went into the bezn and he taught as follows. Ha'isha she'esha lehei leideis v'adois, ve'ezives v'adois. A woman has all these obligations. Don't worry. One, take care of it all. Rashi says, even though he was being lenient in matters of Torah, he says, sometimes you have to do it. Eis las l'ashem epeir Torah secho. Sometimes in order to preserve the Torah, you have to sort of give way a little bit. Because otherwise people would not bring their carbonis. It would be even worse. So he taught like this. Mevia carbon echad, she brings only one carbon, v'chalas b'zvachim, she can have carbonis. Ve'ein hashar l'chayva, and she need not bring the rest. We'll treat it like going to the mikvah. You do one mikvah on account of everything. And guess what? Did the trick. Suddenly there was a huge price drop. V'omdu kinim v'yayim obir v'asayim. The birds dropped. So two pairs of birds were now costing Riva Sayim two quarters of a gold, of a silver coin. So basically, a pair of birds went down from costing a gold coin to a quarter of a silver coin, which is a hundredth of the previous price. Tanu Rabbanan. Hey, ladies, vaday. We have a price. She has five certain births. Hey, zivays, suffix. And five uncertain zivo experiences. Oi, hey ladies vaday, hey ladies suffik, or five certain births and five uncertain births. So since she has two separate issues to contend with, she has the certainties and the uncertainties. So you need a different type of carbon per. She'll bring a pair of birds for this and a pair of birds for that. Via base kinin, she brings two birds, two pairs. Achas alavad, achas alavad. One to address the five certainties and five, the other one to address the five uncertainties. Shavada nechalas, the one that's vade is eaten by the kehanim, it's the karma, shal lechoyba, and she has to bring the rest when she gets around to it. Shal sofak in nechalas, the one that's been brought on account of these sveikas, you don't eat it. Veina shal lechoyba, and she doesn't bring the rest. But you definitely need two carbons. One to address the Vadai category, one to address the list of suffix. Because it's a different type of system. Rechum Nuri Aymer, in this case, she has to make sure to express something. Ala Vadai, Toyma Lachronavati Potter, the one that she's bringing for the Vadai experiences, she has to express and say it's for the last one. Because he treats it like a person's chayv, a carbon chatas, let's say sin many times. You have to address them all till the last one. So here as well, she says this is for the last one, so covers it all. Everything until the last. V'tibot shal safek, however, the one that's brought for the safek, here's another halacha. V'yishvada b'neim. Toimer alavada v'tibot. Another halacha that he says is like this. Let's say she has a mix. Some vade births, some safek births. So according to him, you don't have to bring one for the vadais and one for the safek. Just bring one. If there's a vade amongst them, that sort of runs a show. You bring one carbon for the vade and covers the sveikas as well, because they're sort of secondary to the vade. Interesting chiddush. Vimlav. If you don't have a vade amongst the uncertainties, you only have uncertainties, so she brings one pair and she says whatever it is, it applies to whatever. She doesn't have to specify it for the last one. In this case, that's not required. Like we said, it's like jumping to the mikvah for multiple tumas. Just jump in and you're done. Rav Akiva Omer, there's no need to stipulate at all. Even when you bring for vadais, just bring one for everything and you're good for now. Rav Akiva Omer, ben ala vadai, ben ala safek, whether you're bringing for multiple vadais or multiple safeks, just bring the pair of birds and you don't have to stipulate that it's for the last vadai. You have to bring one for the vadai family, one for the safek family, but you don't have to stipulate anything. Now, what's the machlekes about? Why would you have to stipulate? Why not? Let me present you an explanation from Rav. What's the machlekes? With these tanoim. So, he says, look, if you have several vada experiences, it's like a person's chayv several karban chatas for turning on the light many times. Demand the chayv chehi chatois, a person's chayv multiple chatois, ad the maisi kulon v'soif mechaper, until he brings them all to the last one. Only then does he get a kapara. Chenami here as well. Ishna, it's no different. Meaning, if you're addressing multiple vadais, you have to address up until the last ones. You have to stipulate it's for the last one, covers everything. Rabbi Kiva medamlin tefilas. He says no. It's compared like immersing in a mikvah. You don't have to stipulate which one. It's an automatic system. You have five reasons to be tevil. You tevil. It's done. Demand the machayev heitfila. A person has to be tevil for five reasons. Kiva the tevil chad zimri. Jump in one time. You don't need tire. Achanam lishna here as well. There's no difference. You don't have to label it, address it, direct it to any one experience. Just bring the carbon. You're done. Amli a papa. Says Rav Papa, how could you say that pshat? Is that good? That Rechem Nur the chatzim damlin. Rav Rechem Nur compares it to the chatzim experience. So then, we're in trouble. Because, you know, when you have to bring a chatos for an inadvertent violation, on the flip side, if you're not sure, you bring an asham tali. Now, if you have five experiences, just like you have to bring five chatos, you have to bring five ashams. You can't have one asham tali cover everything. So, if we're really comparing this pair of birds by a suffix leda or suffix ziva to your standard chatos and asham tali, arrangement. No, you would get in trouble here. You can't just get away with one asham tali for many uncertain, violations. Likewise, you can't get away with one pair of birds for many safekis. If you compare it to the chatas asham system, if she has a list of safekis, birth or whatever, she brings one pair of birds and she's done. She brings one account of all. How does that work? Ilumanda machayev chamish asham estluyin. Theoretically, the person would be chayev to bring five asham tolis. Ki ma'ase chad mimifter? He could be exempted with just one? Of course not. That time we have a braisa. They're separate and distinct. One per experience. Zaklal, here's the rule. Kol shechalukim chatois. Any situation which warrants a differentiation. Separation between the karma chatos, meaning five times flipping the switch, five times chatos. Likewise, chalukim asham. If there's any degree of uncertainty, it's five karbanis asham tali. So you can't really equate our women with a regular chatos asham situation. Elo dekuli yama l'tfilas m'damelon. The answer is like this. It's very different over here. She didn't really sin. It's a whole different system. It's called mechusa kapara. So we're going to see the next Mishnah. She had an experience which requires a carbon to cleanse her and to give her access to eating carbonates, going in the mikdash. So it's like immersing in a mikvah. It's a tahara process. And therefore, one tefillah, just like one tefillah addresses multiple tumais, technically one pair of birds addresses everything. Even five experiences of leida and zivah. It's just that when you have five for sure, you have to bring all five, but one is already sufficient to cleanse her, give her access to karbanos, but she has an outstanding balance, which she'll bring later. So all agree, that's the way we view this bird bringing obligation. Tefillos, medam alone. All agree, we compare it to immersion in the mikvah. So that begs the question, why is it going to Rabbi Yechamnur? You have to go and label it, this is for the first, for the last, what's the point? It's just a personal concern that we have. This is what we're concerned about, disregarding her outstanding balance. She had five ladies. She needs five pairs of birds. Technically, temporarily, one is enough to cleanse her enough to give her access to karbanos, but she has an outstanding balance. We're concerned that she'll disregard the rest. Look, I'm good to go. She'll forget about the rest. So that's why we obligated to make this statement. Well, this is for the last one. This way she keeps mindful that she has other ones still outstanding. We're not concerned about Pshia. We don't have to make her, stipulate it. And rest assured she'll bring the rest. Okay, so we have the halacha, the Isha gives birth. She brings Eila Nachatas. If it's a Vade later, then the Chatas is consumed by the Kayhanim. If it's a Safak later, then we treat it like a Chatas Abala Safak. We throw it into the drain, but we process it as a carbon. What if there are multiple experiences? If they're Vade, she has to bring them all, but one is enough to get her going at this point. If they're Safak, one covers it all. Begin a new perek. Perek Sheni of Krisa says the Mishnah. Abba Mechuzakal Parah. Oh, our topic. We have four situations, four individuals who are considered Mechuzakal Parah, which means to say that they've experienced something which triggers a cleansing purification process, which includes bringing karbanos, after which they can return to the Beis HaMikdash, they can eat kachim. Abba Mechuzakal Parah, they're lacking kaparah, which means to say until they bring their karbanos, they're not fully cleansed. Another item on this number four list, totally unrelated. There are four people who will bring a carbon, typically you bring a carbon chatas for a mistake, and they'll bring it even if it's zodain, if it was a amazed, just like you bring on a shaygig, they'll bring an amazed as well. Okay. Beilin mechuzer kapar, who are the four mechuzer kapar? Hazav, v'hazava. V'yiladu zometzer. Interesting that when it comes to Ziva, we split the man from the woman. Hazav is one, Zav is two. But when it comes to Metzera, although it applies to men and women equally, they're covered under the same number. The more we'll discuss this. But Lesben Yaakov Aymer, I have two more. Mechuzer Kapar, Ger, a convert. Mechuzer Kapar is considered as such, Ashi Yisrael of Adam, until the blood of his carbon, of his oil, gets processed. And another item is the Nazar. He's only complete when he brings his carbon, and that gives him access to wine, to his haircut, to his tum. Asks the Gemara Mishna, Zav Zav Demonloim B'Terein. Why is it when it comes to Zav and Zav, we split them into two numbers? And the reason is because their tumah experience is really very different. Mishum Dechaluka Tumasan. The man's Ziva is very different than the woman's. Why? Different halachas. The zav loy metame boynus by a man, if it's an unnatural, if it was triggered by some other factors, he's not tame. Let's say overeating or whatever, that doesn't count. The sanyim b'sara, it has to be. Rashi says b'sara mekoyach ivaroy mitakavir from his yetzer. It has to be a natural. Loy machmas. It's not due to external reasons. Umetame b'risk b'yam. Number two. The emissions of Azov, the tumah of Azov, is dependent upon experiences, re'iyos, how many times he saw. So if he sees three times, even the same day, he's a full-fledged Azov. It's not related to, necessarily related to dates, as opposed to by a woman. It's about dates. For her to become a full-fledged Azov, she has to have an experience on three consecutive dates. So it's about days, not about experiences. Different system. The Sani we have a brisa. Tola hakasa v'sazocher b'riyos. By a man, it depends upon experiences. V'sanakim v'yom. By a woman, it's totally in days. V'zava matama b'oynes. V'lo matama b'riyos k'v'yomim. So again, by the zav, it has to be a natural thing. And it's experience-oriented, not day-oriented. By a woman, it's just the opposite. Matama b'oynes. By her, even if there are external factors to attribute it to, she's tamei. V'lo matama b'riyos k'v'yomim. It's not about b'riyos, it's about days. So I understand why the Mishnah counted them separately. Okay, so then Matzora and Matzoras as well. They have differences. So why not count them apart? Matzora and Matzoras, not Machaluka Tumasan. There are two experiences experienced differently in terms of how they conduct themselves when they are Matzora. The Matzora ton Priya or Prima. A man Matzora needs to let his hair grow. Prima, tear his clothing. The Chsev B'Godav Yuprumim. Roishi Yaparua. V'Asar. He can't engage with his wife. That's shamita. Things that don't apply to a woman mitzeras. A mitzeras ain't a tuna fria uprima. She doesn't have the hair thing and the clothing thing. The sani ain't li ela ish. So Bryson says, how do I know? That the concept of mitzera applies to a woman, because the pasuk says ish tzeru. Perhaps only a man gets a tzeras. Ain't ela ish, ish a man. How do we know it applies to a woman as well? Kshuaymer. Vatsarua, cross gender, alareyu, kanshnaim, it covers both man and woman. It came out of Malema Ish, so why does the pasuk highlight the man? Regarding certain particulars of conduct, nitka akasam inisha maila, tira, disconnected him from the primary discussion of Tumah, which means to say that the concept of Tumas Matzor applies to a man and a woman equally. But in certain respects, the man is disconnected and different. Nitka Kosam and Shomator connected him from the upper discussion, the base discussion of the concept of Matzora, which applies equally to man and woman. Leni Shomato, with respect to the discussion later on in the parasha, which means to say like this. Laima to teach us, Ish Pareya Purim. Only a man has the Pareya Purim obligations, Vein Isha Paras Paramas, which doesn't apply to a woman. Ein Isha Paras Paramas. As we find the pasuk, he has the obligation to separate from his wife, as opposed to her tent, meaning she doesn't have that obligation when she's a matzor. So once we see they're running different tracks, why don't we list them separately in the Mishnah? Count them as two. The answer is like this. In contrast to the zav ikar to muslim chaluka, they're fundamentally distinct in the whole process of becoming tamei, so that's why they're certainly on different tracks. Mitzora mitzaras, however, ain't nikar tumasan chaluk. There's no real fundamental distinction in the way they become tamei and the essence of the tuma. Haivai kigrisu, whether it's a man or woman, they become tamei if they see this mark, which is the size of a gris, a half of a bean. So in terms of becoming tamei, they're on the same turf. It's just that they have some minor variances in terms of conducting themselves during the tuma. So that's why they don't warrant their own listing. So Danakama listed four. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, however, adds another two. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Aymer ger mechusar kapara, the ger as well, and so is the Nasr. But Danakama, my time will atone ger, why didn't Danakama include ger on the list? Because he runs a different system. Kiktani. Danakama only mentioned midam, a situation, a person who's bringing a carbon demishri lamechal bekotch. The situation with the carbon is to give him access to eating carbonis. Ger, however, it's a whole different system. The objective is to join the community. Ger kika maisi carbon. The reason why the ger is bringing the carbon is much more than that. Nachshur nafshib l'meil b'kol, to allow him to join our community. So it's a whole different system. And belongs on its own, you know. But Nazar, my time at Tony. What about the Nazar? Why wasn't that included? Once again, it's different. Safe. Ultimately, Nazar nami. The point of Nazar is to bring a carbon lishteril, mishteyayin, dechulunu. To give him access to wine, which is regular material, not carbon material, which is typically the objective of the Mechuzah Kapara. So, again, it's its own situation. Mishteyayin, dechulunu. Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rabbi Eliezer held that even that qualifies. Give him access to wine, that's also considered Mechuzah Kapara. The Tani Nazar, who cited the Nazar on the list, Lemishteyayin, nafshi, where the purpose of the carbon is to allow him wine. So, now comes a question. We have another one. Nisni Nami, Nazar Tamei. What about Nazar Tamei? who became tamei and aborted his experience and had to count his days and bring a carbon now. That's also a form of mechusa kapara. So why isn't that on the list for a total of 7 cases now? The answer is, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees, that's out of the way, that's its own track. Kiko maisi karban lamecha lalei neziris bataru. By the nazir tamei, the point of the karban is not to give him access to wine, he's actually recounting, he's starting the clock anew, he's starting to become a new nazir, so the point of the karban is to lamecha lalei, to activate upon him this new nazir, so it's really a whole different system, and is not an our list. Tana Rabbana, speaking about the ger, a ger cannot eat a carbon. So even though he had milah and he had tefillah, he has to bring his pair of birds, which in this case are both carbon oilah. Let's say he brought one of the birds in the morning and processed it. That very evening he eat carbonis, meaning that although he has to bring both, so he has an outstanding ballast, but one is enough to give him access to karbanos throughout the day. He doesn't have to wait until tonight. Just means to say, in the meantime, one is enough. Kol ha-kinyan shel b'Torah, interesting. Typically, a pair of birds in the Torah is usually a chatas and an oila. Echad chatas v'echad oila. Kan, here by the ger, shtein oila. They're both oilas. Hevi chavasim na behemah yatzah. Let's say instead of a pair of birds, he decides, I'm bringing a nice chunky animal as an oila. That works instead of two birds. Oila b'shlam yatzah. Likewise, if he decides to bring an oila and a shlamim, great. Mencha shlamim la yatzah. But instead of oila, he brings a mencha with a shlam, even though he added a shlamim, a bonus. No, that doesn't work. Lo yomer kan el lahakel. We don't insist on a bird. The bird is the pair of birds is to make it easier for him, but he can bring an animal oil as well. Ask the Gemara why. So here for all the sources, why Maishlam Mincha Shlam Dlo Yatsa? Why Mincha Shlam doesn't work? The pasuk by the ger says he's meant to do just as you did. You meaning Klal Yisrael way back by Har Sinai when you became Yidden. Mayatem Oilo Shlam, just like when you became a Yid, you had an oila and a Shlam Avger Oilo Shlam likewise. Ager oila shlamim kain. If that's the case, we should be obligated to bring an oila and a shlamim, not just a oila or a pair of oila birds. Imkain chavas aras menabem leitizkel levegave. So why is it enough to bring one oila animal? Doksiv kasher tasu kenyas is meant to follow your example. Amar apapa yeshlamim. You can say like this: loivis rabbi loilas behem leikalshkin. If we allow even a bird, as we'll see later. So if a pair of birds work, certainly an animal works. Which means to say, he need not add a shlamim as well. So he has a choice, two options, either a full animal oila or a pair of birds, but oila is enough. If that's the case, I feel a mincha nami. So if we're allowing all kinds of other alternatives, so even a mincha should work instead of an oila. Miet kro, kain. The pasuk says, kain yasa, as is. He's got to follow your example, your precedent. It has to be some living being, an animal or bird. How do you know to include a bird? Maybe only animals, like Klal Yisrael did real animals. He's meant to follow your example. Just like you did Yishlam, he as well. He's meant to do the same as you. What about a bird? Can he substitute a bird for the animal? How do you know to include a bird? Which indicates a bird. Why? Hashem, it's completely offered to Hashem without anything going to the Kohanim. That only applies to an oila bird, because even by an animal oila, the hide goes to the Kohanim. Ezeo davar shekul Hashem. Give an example of something which is totally consumed, wholly given to Hashem. An oila bird. So there's a choice in the matter. You can bring a behemoth oila or a pair of oila birds. What about a mincha, which is also completely put on the mizbeach? We have minchas nesach. I'm complete with that. Okay. No. As you did, so we have an exception. We only allow the either the animal oil or the bird oil, not a mincha, because Klal Yisrael didn't bring mincha type karbanos there. It was an animal form. It was a malchai. So either an animal or a bird. Tanidach, we have another price. Va'asa ishe rech mechaych l'Hashem. Let's continue just a little bit. We finish this topic. So the ger is meant to offer his carbon. Shemayani kol she'el isha. So asa isha means any type of fiery offering. I feel mincha, maybe even a mincha. Tamaloymar, no, he's got to follow your example. Kasha ta'asu, Ken Yaseh, just like you did back in Har Sinai, you brought a carbon, a alchai, him as well. Ma'atem mine damim, just like you offered the blood-related sacrifices. Avhei mine dam, likewise the ger, as opposed to a mincha. Ma'atem oyla u'shlam avheim oyla shlam. Perhaps just like you brought oyla and shlam, as the psukim there indicate. So perhaps the ger needs both. Tamaloymar, kochem kager yeah. He's meant to emulate your process, the way you enter the covenant. So meaning the full correlation between the ger and yourself only relates to things which are personal, the bris milah, right, tevilah, but regarding other matters which aren't directly on the person, such as a carbon, it doesn't have to be 100% a copy. So an oil is enough. And again, it makes more sense to be an oil, which is completely offered, completely to Hashem. Rabbi Eimer, he has another drash on this pasuk. Kochem means, he follows your example, kaviseichem, like your forefathers. Ma viseichem, lo yinichnasu labris, el v'mila, u'tvila, just like your forefathers, enter the covenant, and Har Sinai, through mila, immersion in the mikvah, through offering of blood of a carbon, the same with the ger avheim, likewise the future converts, loy consul of bris, how did they enter the covenant? Eleva mila, tefila v'arsa'asta. So we've concluded that a mincha doesn't work. It needs to be an oila, either a balcha, a behema, or a bird. Now, perhaps just like by the balcha, one is enough. But by the behema, one is enough. Perhaps one bird is enough as well. Lahavi pray the achasi. Actually, you can't suggest one bird. We never find such a concept. Shlomo etzino b'chalaterikul. We never find a single bird offering. And the point of the bird is to make it easier for him. Ask the Gemara of Eloi, really? One bird doesn't work? A person could donate one bird. By the time we have a brisa, back in Vayikri, Krivoi, he'll offer it. What's the point of the pasuk? We find when it comes to describing the birds, it uses plural. Toirim, Pleyoino, Shemiani. Perhaps I can conclude you have to bring a pair only. Haimar, like, Hare, like, other side, a person donates. Commits to a bird, oila. Well, if Chazmish Nei prayed, he has to bring two birds. Tamalayim v'kriyvoy, singular. I feel really that you can offer even one bird. So why not the same by the ger? One bird. Chay v'mila yashkachan. Yeah, that's by a voluntary offering, but by a chay. We never find the Torah that an obligatory carbon works with one bird. So you have to bring two. Really, we never find a single bird offering as an obligation. V'kriyiladis. What about the woman who gives birth? Demas yibin yoyinoy ter lachatas. Together with the animal oilish brings a bird for a chatas. Because it comes along with the animal, with the sheep. So ultimately, it's a pair. We never find a chiyav on one bird only. Hence, the ger, if he chooses to bring a bird, has to be two. Okay, so we had the Mishnah, four examples of Mechusa Kapara, the Zava, we explain why they're counted separately. We let us in Mitzvah. Let us in Yaakov adds the ger and the Nazir. And we explain the process of becoming a ger, mila, tevila, hatzaras damim, similar to the process that we experienced back in Har Sinai. We concluded that the chiyuv karban has to be mine damim, blood oriented, either an animal oila or a pair of birds, both oilas. All the best to you and hatzlacha.